This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're having a great time here, fascinating discussion with our two guests, Tony Angiola and Ben Moss. And, of course, we started talking about Sicario, and we're into John Keel now. I knew John Keel over the years, from the time he showed up as a writer for, Playboy, one of those magazines, and he entered the offices of Jim Moseley at Saucer News in the mid-60s. And I didn't expect him being anything more than a freelance writer looking for a story, and I didn't realize all this other stuff was going to come from him. He also had this amazingly wacky sense of humor, but he got really crotchety in his old age.
Well, he was ill.
Yes.
That was the big problem. He was suffering with diabetes, and his vision was affected. And I can remember in 1991, I called John up. I was friends out here in L.A. With somebody that was looking to purchase some property, and I'm talking about literary property, and possibly produce a film. I called John up, introduced him to this gentleman. My friend started talking to Keel about the possibility of acquiring the rights to Mothman Prophecies. My buddy thought this might make a heck of a film project. And I was kind of shocked because John Keel could not have been any less interested in the whole thing. So he just kind of blew it off. And later my buddy looked at me and he said, well, I guess he didn't want to sell it. And that was the bottom line. Later, of course, he did. I don't know. I saw that movie that came out. I wasn't overly impressed.
Well, it was one of the lesser movies that Richard Gere did.
Right. Well, you know, guys, I wanted, in the last segment, you had mentioned something I wanted to address. You had stated that your interests are primarily in the scientific pursuits of chasing, basically, objects in the air, lights in the sky, so to speak. You know, we've been doing that for over 70 years. Have we gotten any further along the trail to finding out what exactly is happening?
No. You have a very valid point. I've heard it many times. I've said it myself that, for the time that ufology has been in existence, we're really not any further today than we were back then. As a matter of fact, I was reading through some of the symposium proceedings from 1976, and I was much more impressed with what I read then than what I see now. There were very many respectable PhDs and scientists-type individuals coming out to the symposiums and contributing their expert knowledge in the field of these sciences, and it was wonderful. And today, there's a lot more armchairing going on, and, we've lost, I guess maybe that element, having a very respectable, highly intelligent type of investigation work being done. But we're also not seeing the cases that are so magnificent that we got back then either. Everything we investigate today is, I saw a light in the sky and it blinked away. There's nothing you can do with that, Or I saw something land and there's no evidence of it. Or things like this. It's much more challenging to get really worthy cases that would require, such skill, I guess.
Well, I knew Walt Andrus. I knew Walt for quite a while. I got to be honest, I have very, very mixed feelings about the way Walt handled many, many things. MOFON, there's no getting around the fact that over the years, primarily in the past, they did some tremendous work trying to bring the subject to the public. Now, with that being said, and taking the chance that I'm going to step on some toes, how do you explain some of the speakers, for example, at the last symposium, that had some of the most lunatic stories I ever heard, like going to Mars, okay, fighting a war there for 20 years, coming back and being put back into your own body, or traveling to Mars with Barack H. Obama, all right, like some of these speakers have done. How could MUFON put those people on a public stage?
You left out Ross Perot. He was there, too. I was there at the symposium in Las Vegas, and I go mostly to network. But, you know, MUFON has had its issues. You know, they're still trying to, you know, get the scientific study done. It's just that for a conference like that, I think Jan had spoken that he said it was trying to get a mixture of people, and he surely did. But, you know, you got to look at it from a perspective. The symposium was probably one of the most well-attended ones in a long time. I think there were maybe a couple thousand people came through there. And that's a very high number for some of the symposiums that are out
so
there.
So then what we're talking about is bringing in dollars and not the scientific pursuit, because that can be looked at as a double-edged sword.
He's trying to do both, I think. You know, I'm not the head of MUFON, and, you know, I'm not a business degree guy, but I would say that money has to be a part of it. You have to, as a nonprofit, you have to survive. Some of it is entertainment. I don't buy any of the stuff, about, you know, the outlandish stuff that was said, but, you know, if it fills some seats and it gets other people to see something they want to see, it's maybe not the mission of MUFON, but it pays the bills. But you know, the problem is, and I've experienced it myself, is it's really hard to get good scientific people that are still working to talk about anything they may know or want to investigate, because they can get into a lot of trouble, and there's evidence of that. So,
well, not to beat a dead horse, but if you have a PhD physicist coming in to address the MUFON crowd, and he's right after some guy that's talking about going to Mars fighting an interplanetary war, you might understand why that PhD might be reticent to participate.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about MUFON, because they're trying. It just seems like to really focus, and this goes back to what we talked about before, you know, with not having accomplished anything in 70 years, you know, with ufology, is that, you know, in the 70s, Ray Sanford was doing this with magnetometers and all the equipment needed to capture data that we forgot about. And when people talk about today, I won't mention any names, but saying you were doing, you know, scientific investigation of UFOs with all this great equipment for the first time ever, well, that's not true, because he had recordings of magnetometers, gravimeters, and, you know, just all kinds of data that I don't know how to interpret the data, but, you know, it just shows that he was onto something. And when he went out with these devices and with the connections he had, he was able to film really good UFOs using this great equipment.
And he was able to hit one with a laser, actually.
Yeah, that's a great story.
It's a great story. I don't know of anybody, any ufologist in the history of ufology who had millions of dollars in grant money, had magnetometers, gravimeters, recording WWVB time code with anything that's found on the video, and then being able to getting permission from the Air Force to hit an object with a laser that they're confirming on radar as well. So he had all this data coming together as the most hard evidence. I mean, we can't even get that kind of good data today. And he's capturing it because they knew how to program the ELF frequencies, and they knew how to really optimize their nodes in the ground, because they've been at it for so long. We were trying so hard to get him in touch with the people today that are trying to accomplish the same thing. And for whatever reason, they won't talk to Ray.
Is it possible one reason, I'm not going to start anything, some of the stuff he was doing in the early years with his brother may have left, you know, kind of a taste in the mouths of some people? We'll pursue that question in our next segment with Ben and Tony. And Gene and Don, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Ben and Tony, about the early history of Ray and Rex Stanford. Because I remember we thought of them as just contactee sympathizers in those years. And I remember that Jim Moseley and I worked in those years. And even later when I said, well, we have them on the Paracast. And he still remembered the early days, despite Sicaro.
Yeah, what's interesting about Ray and Rex is, if for many people, they don't realize that they're identical twins. And seeing pictures of them together is really interesting. His brother is into photography, funny enough. You'd think that he'd be shooting things higher in the sky other than birds, but he's really big into taking pictures of birds. And he's also a fellow at the university that he worked at. Actually got fellowed twice, which is unusual. Anyways, he's very remarkable, but he's not into ufology anymore. He gave up after very early on. They wrote a book together called Look Up when they were about 17 or 18. They didn't make a single penny on it. And what I was trying to say earlier about when people try to look Ray up on the internet and they start seeing negative things or things that they would interpret to be negative, many of them are false and not true. You know, he was accused of taking people's money for predicting, for being a psychic. That's not true. He only did...
The reptilian part is true. He's a reptilian.
Yeah, I know. I know reptilians that hang out in my neighborhood. I'm kidding.
Well, that's why we like him, because we love reptilians. So anyways, there's a lot of untruths about him in the media, and he's lived so many lives, actually, and he's been there. I don't know anybody whose job is a ufologist from the time that they were a teenager and have already written, I think, two books before they were 20. This is his life. This is what he's done day in and day out, his entire life, pretty much. And then, yeah, now he's into, you know, paleontology. Just remarkable. So that's what I'm just trying to tell the listeners is, you know, whenever you see anything so outlandish as someone being a reptilian who's, you know, some kind of a lunatic psychic and things like this, you know, look at the guy's work. You know, the work he did on Socorro Saucer and Pentagon Pantry should be a manual, training manual for any ufologist getting into the field.
Hey, when I was younger, I did some pretty dumb stuff that I wouldn't want out in the public. So, you know, we all do things that we're not proud of in some point in our life. But, you know, Ray, I think this whole paleontology thing is what's shown how observant he is and how detailed oriented he is. And I was out there at Goddard when Dr. Lockerbie and him did the presentation and unveiled the slab, and it's just amazing. I mean, I can understand how Ray could see these things because his powers of observation are incredible. There's a 2012 article in the Washington Post when a reporter went out dinosaur hunting with Ray, and he found some dinosaur bones while they were out there. That's easily Googled. Yeah, so, you know, we kind of have learned a lot about how to go look for these things from Ray. And so we have a lot of devices we can take out. We could always use more. But we're going to areas that seem to be hot spots. And the mistake most people make is they film at night. We don't want to film at night because we won't get any data. So we'll film in the daytime. Dusk and dawn is the best time. The light is polarized. And maybe it kind of makes these things a little bit more visible than even they think they are, because that seems to be when Ray has filmed them. But, you know, the evidence that we've seen just tells me that there is an advanced technology that's operating in our atmosphere and has been for a pretty long time. I couldn't tell you what it was. You know, I don't know if it's alien or interdimensional or time-traveling interdimensional aliens or, you know. It just, if somebody's coming here, it's 500 years ahead of us, that's one thing. If somebody's coming here and it's 500,000 years ahead of us, well, then it'd be like giving Da Vinci a cell phone and saying, you know, figure this out for me. He would never figure it out.
You see, that's the thing I wonder about UFOs and what we see and whether what we see is what we get. And the reason is, assume we have a race of intelligences from another star system. They're not 500 years ahead of us. They're 1,000 or two. Would we even be capable of recognizing their technology? Because even though so-called flying saucers or UFOs appear to represent advanced technology, it's not 2,000 years. If there's any linear progression there, we wouldn't even be able to recognize them as spacecraft or any kind of craft. Very likely, what we see is the best that we can to interpret it, or they're putting on a show for our benefit.
That's a good assessment.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, Gene, there are other possible explanations about where these things emanate from, as we've discussed a number of times.
If it's extraterrestrial in the tradition that we think of it.
But would interdimensional mean any less alien in the truest sense of the word, alien?
Yeah, it still would be alien. If they're popping in from a fourth or fifth dimension, you know, and they can pop back out again, that's a dimension we can't see. And if, you know, even though string theory is still a string theory, still a theory, it does postulate anywhere from 10 to 20 dimensions. So maybe they're just vibrating on a different frequency. Maybe they inhabit the same space, but it's a different reality for them. But they would still be alien to humans. You know, anything that's not human is alien to me. It's just maybe you can classify it another way.
Well, there's that recent article, I don't know if you read it or not, about quantum theory with dimensional physics like that, where, you know how when you're looking for something, let's say you're looking for a white cap that fits on your soda bottle, and you're looking all over your desk, and you're looking for, you can't find it, and then someone else walks in and finds it right in front of you. It's because it was blue the whole time. But your mind was looking for a white cap, but it was blue, right? But you didn't see it. So this article, just in a nutshell, basically is saying that we don't see those other dimensions because we're so focused on other things, so to speak. But it was interesting.
We're looking down at our cell phones.
Right.
Well, you see, that's the reason why cell phones don't take UFO pictures, because today's cell phone, the best of the breed, and I'll rate Apple and Samsung doing the best cameras. And sometimes one is a bit better than the other, but they do decent pictures. Despite that, we don't see the photos. Now, they may not be good at capturing little lights in the sky and giving us detail. We expect that. But if the object or whatever it is close enough, you'd think they would. But as you say, everyone is looking down at their smartphones. I mean, I go to today. I need a real cheap breakfast at some restaurant just to get by because I just moved and it's pretty crazy. And so I look for the dollar special. I sat down there with my iPhone and I realized everybody in that restaurant was doing the same thing with their smartphone. So if a UFO, heck, if somebody tried to rob the restaurant and didn't make a lot of noise, they would not have seen it.
That's true.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, people, that's why sightings go up when it's warmer, because people are outside more and they don't have as many when it's colder. But, you know, people are, it's kind of like what Ray said about his discovery. You know, you have these astrophysicists who are looking to the stars back in time, but Ray looked down on the ground at Goddard and looked back in time 156 million years and found footprints.
Well, the thing also, people who dispute what Ray Stanford says or think he's just making it up, you look at the Washington Post, for example, and the stories written about his paleontology work, and that's amazing, just amazing. Ben, Tony, Gene, and Don, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue. Chris O'Brien, by the way, is at his new home in New York, and we'll hear from him again soon. Don Ecker graciously agreed to be the guest co-host again because he is a mensch. Okay.
Can you spell that, though?
Can I spell mensch?
Yeah.
I wrote you a letter and called you a mensch, right?
Was that what that was? Okay.
M-E-N-S-C-H, okay?
Just checking, Gene.
Okay.
Just checking.
He's a mensch, I'll tell you the truth. Such a mensch. Ben Moss, Tony Angiola, wondering what the heck we're talking about. Or maybe not.
Well, speaking about Rafe's paleontology work, which is extraordinary in itself, brought to mind part of the conversation we had this past week with the Reverend Barry Downing. And one of the items, the topics we discussed, was the possibility, the speculation that the human race, Homo sapiens sapien, was in fact guided, directed, perhaps manipulated by ancient astronauts, extraterrestrials that came here many, many millennia ago and fiddled around with the human race. Did it happen? Well, we don't know. It's simply speculation, a lot of high-level thinking guesswork. But, gentlemen, does that figure into your worldview with this topic? Have you entertained the idea that this is not a new phenomenon? This is actually a mind-boggling, incredibly old phenomenon that has been here with the human race for perhaps forever. Have you guys thought about that? And if so, what do you think about that?
I think about it every day. It's actually the only thing I think about. I'm a strong believer that this has been going on well before we came along. We're probably most likely a product of some sort of manipulation and engineering along the way, like you mentioned. There's some really great books Cremo, Michael Cremo, has out from South Africa from flying over that he found what he believes to be, I guess, ground zero of creation, which is really interesting based on some of the Zachariah Sitchin's work and whatnot. And also, I believe there's underwater bases, especially off the coast of Puerto Rico, by Florida, all the triangles around the world, possibly, and we mentioned, you guys were talking about earlier, underground bases, possibly near the mesas in Arizona, New Mexico, Mexico.
And right off the coast by Santa Monica here in Southern California, as a matter of fact.
I don't know about that. I think that's been shown to be a natural formation.
No. I'm not talking necessarily about the formation.
What's that island right off of California?
Catalina.
Catalina. Lots of sightings from there, absolutely. And off the coast of Texas as well. So I think there's a lot of stuff happening in and out of our oceans, even underground pyramids probably, although that's not provable. I've read all those books on underground bases and tunnels and hidden alien bases. We can't prove any of that stuff. It's very possible. But I just think that because so many UFOs have come in and out of water, it's Occam's razor. There's got to be something down there if they keep coming out of the ocean. So, to answer your question, I think they're going to be here after we're gone, too. They were here before. They'll be here after we're gone. And they're everywhere. Does that help?
No, that answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a little more skeptical. So I just think that they're, when you study ufology, you've got to, study archaeology and history and religion and psychology and physics and all these other fields to try to get a handle on, what is really probably one of the most interesting things we could possibly study. But, it's funny because in my research, I found more evidence that a really bad thing happened about 12 to 15,000 years ago, and all the cultures recorded it in such a way that they dug underground to get away from the surface of the planet because of either heat or something. But there was a really good book, it's hard to find, that I read called When the Earth Nearly Died 15,000 Years Ago. It was written by a couple of geologists who speculated that a supernova occurred and ejected some material that passed through our solar system and changed the spin of several moons of these planets that do spin in the counter opposite direction of what they should be spinning. And they showed that some type of evidence to seem that a large body did pass through our solar system and caused a lot of changes and, maybe further damaged Mars at the time. But it's interesting when you do study the phenomena that you touch on all these other things. You try to figure out, was there some type of genetic manipulation?
You just referred to something that Emanuel Velikovsky wrote a book on that he was, metaphorically crucified for, Worlds in Collision.
That was a great book, yeah.
So yeah. If that's what you're referring to, yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, the geologists that wrote When the Earth Nearly Died 15,000 years ago, they looked at these erratic boulders, they're called, where you have these rocks that are totally out of place and they're massive, and they don't seem to have been put in certain areas by glaciation and things like that. So it's interesting because all the cultures interpret things in a different way. The gods are angry or, whatever. And I think it was David Schock,
Robert Schock.
Robert Schock, who postulated that this event that happened melted the ice caps and that the discharges, which are very interesting, these plasma discharges look like the Nazi symbol, which is actually, a symbol that meant good things before the Nazis took it. But these plasma discharges resemble the Nazi symbol. And then there's the swastika. And you have a lot of carvings from these ancient cultures, and Ray has some of them. They're in the shape of a swastika, but they're 2,000 years old. I went off on a tangent there, but...
Well, that's what the show is all about, is a free flow of information. Well, Velikovsky was as a matter of fact, I did a rather extensive article on him. And Velikovsky was someone who, as a matter of fact, could have actually been a ufologist. And what I mean by that is when he wrote his book, He was roundly lambasted by people like Howard Shapley, okay, who just did everything to destroy him without having read a single word of what Velikovsky wrote. Okay, and that's something that often happens in this field, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot. Stan Friedman's been great at pointing out that, you know, when he's debated some of these people, that they don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, if you want to debunk ufology, you certainly should know the history of ufology. There's a lot of people that make mistakes in the field because they don't understand some of the, you know, basic things that have happened. When people say there's not been any proof, I think there's been proof of something very unusual going on that we could say is maybe non-human, but a lot of people don't know the history of ufology, and that's why some of these older cases, you don't want to beat Roswell to death, but it's good to know some of these older cases because if you don't remember your history, you know, you're doomed to repeat it. So we shouldn't be reinventing ufology every year. We should be moving down the road of more science, more scientific equipment. And since, I guess part of our goal is, since we're not scientists, you know, if we can get the data on various types of devices, you know, the electromagnetic spectrum, the radiation spectrum, everything that these things are producing for propulsion, then we can have somebody that's qualified figure out what the data means. We don't want to be experts in physics, but we can surely find maybe somebody that would be able to tell us what's going on.
Providing you have anybody with enough wherewithal to be willing to enter the fray. And as we all know, and I certainly have seen this many, many times over the years, you associate yourself with this topic, and suddenly you become persona non grata. That's just the way it works.
What works now is to pause, a pause that refreshes. We have Ben, Tony, Don, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact, and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery, and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we have Don Ecker as guest co-host again. I'm Gene Steinberg. Ben Moss and Tony Angiola join us from Virginia, friends of Ray Stanford. By the way, I realize here we're talking to two people together here, and maybe people don't recognize the difference in voices. Nobody confuses me with Don or anybody on this planet. Ben, say a word or two so our listeners recognize you again.
I'm the one on the left.
I would think he's the one on the right.
Tony has a deeper, more, I guess, nasally voice, and I have a kind of a, I guess, a higher pitch. So this is Ben.
I'm accused of being a surfer. In California. That's what people say about me.
Still say, hey, dude, a lot.
I used to say that all the time.
Hey, dude.
You're like,
no, it's more like, oh, dude, sup? Sup, dude?
Great, yeah. Great movie, Big Lebowski, highly recommend it.
The dude approves.
I will not even attempt to figure that out. We're too busy trying
Sam
to
Sam Elliott. I love Sam Elliott. Oh, my Lord. He was great.
Yeah, he is a good actor.
A lonesome cowboy.
I'm a big Jeff Bridges fan, too. I've watched his career for a long time, and he's just an excellent actor.
Starman,
yeah. The Big Lebowski is one of my favorite movies because it's, it's just well-written and funny, but
I'll tell you guys, you want to see a movie that will knock you on your heels, okay? And it has the added benefit of being associated with this topic. As a matter of fact, I just up on my radio fan page, the Dark Matters Radio fan page on Facebook, I put a short little article review on this film, and I highly recommend anybody that hasn't seen it to see it. It's called The Objective. And it's the immediate aftermath of the events following 9/11, the 9/11 attacks, where the Central Intelligence Agency and got data from an American spy satellite that seemed to show the possibility of nuclear material in the mountains of Afghanistan. And the CIA sent in an officer with a special forces team to track this down, and what transpired after they entered this area. And let me just say one word that should resonate with everybody. One of the things they think they found were Vimanas. And my heaven, what a movie, what a story. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out, The Objective.
Definitely.
I'll look it up as we continue with this. Let me ask you a question, Ben and Tony, because we kind of hinted at it like for example, whether the Cash Landrum object was an attempt at reverse engineering alien technology. And by the way, Rick Doty believes that. I don't know if you guys know who Rick Doty is.
Oh, yeah.
Richard.
Yeah. There's not much we don't know about in ufology. Not to brag, but I read everything. And, you know, I've seen all the documentaries, and so has Tony. So we're pretty well versed in the history of ufology.
Well, Rick Doty is probably one of the curious or more curious guests we've had in the PowerCast. I worked on him to get him on the show for over 10 years.
Wow.
And finally got him on just a few weeks ago. But it was really, really touch and go for a while. And then he seemed to like it. So maybe we'll get him back. Maybe we'll have him on with Walter Bosley, two former AFOSI agents pitted against one another. That will be fascinating. All right, so Cash Landrum craft, possible reverse engineered effort. I don't know. I kind of think that alien technology would be so far advanced, we still couldn't make head or tails. Maybe get the scientist from Independence Day. You know, the guy who played Data on Star Trek Generations. Get him to do it. He'll figure it out. Now, seriously speaking here, how much in the early days of UFO field do you think did involve something in terms of test aircraft?
A lot. Well, yeah, I think there's a lot. Well, let's say there's Socorro. There's that one.
No, he's talking about which ones we test. Yeah.
Oh, which ones?
We're test aircraft.
Oh, no, test aircraft? Geez, I don't know, man. There was so many cases.
Well, there's a lot. You know, the B-1 bomber, when that was flown, it's in secret. It was mistaken. Stealth aircraft have been mistaken. The interesting thing to do, and we've done it, we need to do more of it, is to apply new technology to old film and photographs. And there's the Trent photo is a classic. You know, Ray had done work on that, and we replicated it. If you look at the famous Trent photograph, there's some type of downflow under that thing in the original picture, and when you do just contrast a little bit, there's clearly a vortex underneath that craft, and it is a little bit further away in the second picture. I don't buy for a second that that thing was hanging from a telephone wire, but it's one of the most famous pictures in McMinnville old days. But
they described the heat.
Yeah, and when the thing tilted towards them, the Trent said it tilted towards them, they were hit with a blast of heat, and if that was some type of plasma or something, that would make sense. The thing that's interesting about that case is nobody would have thought to do that if they hoaxed that photograph. Nobody would have thought to put this very obvious vortex that emanates from the bottom of the craft all the way to the ground like a tornado. But it appears to be some type of function of propulsion. So there's that other famous picture, I can't remember if it's Brazil or Argentina, of a white missile-shaped object crossing the sky with a big trail behind it. And it looks human, but it's from 52. It's got no stabilizing fins or anything on it. The exhaust out the back doesn't look like a typical propulsion engine, but in the photograph, it's going over a river, and in the river is a pretty clear reflection of the craft, another thing that I don't think a hoax would think of. So there is evidence of these really weird things flying around, but it's really hard to say where they came from or if they were test aircraft.
I know that there's a former director of MUFON, James Carrion, who wrote a book called The Rosetta Deception, suggesting the ghost lights were something to spook the Russians. And he was, I guess, supposed to do a book called The Roswell Deception, but doesn't seem to have ever finished it. What's your perception, in as much as he's a former MUFON guy?
On Roswell?
On the ghost lights. Ghost rockets.
That was in Sweden, right? I don't buy that theory. I think that the one photograph that was said to be a meteorite could be, but I think Lincoln LaPaz, the meteorite specialist, saw the ghost rockets and I think they were happening in New Mexico at the time also. So I think that was maybe an event, you know, just a meteorite event, or maybe a lot of them. I don't know if that was anything unusual. It might have just been some unusual natural phenomena.
You mean like lightning, ball lightning?
No, these are look like rockets, basically. There were a lot of cases in Sweden, I know, where these things seemed to fall in the water, but they couldn't find them. So without great photographs, really no photographs of those objects, they're just stories, and it's really hard to get anything else out of them.
But General Doolittle, Jimmy Doolittle, did go over there in 46 or 47 to investigate that. And I think it's highly unlikely the government, the American government, would have sent him over there at the very tail end of the Second World War if something wasn't, in fact, being seen and sighted over there.
Yeah, I think there was something unusual was occurring, and we certainly were interested in it. There doesn't seem to be enough data to support that you make a conclusion one way or another. I mean, if there was footage or multiple photographs, but I've only seen one or two photographs of the object, and with the amount of times it supposedly occurred, it seems like somebody else would have taken some pictures. Maybe they're just not public.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Foo Fighter phenomenon. There are a few that came out after the war was over, but a lot of bomber pilots in those bomber streams, when they were still in the process of dropping bombs all over Germany, they were encountering something, and those records were classified at the time. And some of them, of course, later on were released. But, yeah, there was something very, very – well, you know, it's true, guys. I mean, let's take a look at it.
Before we take a look at that, let's take a look at this. Ben Moss, Tony Angiola, Don Ecker, Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.